Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, verse 6, and verses 8 through 11. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. This is the word of the Lord. I'd love to invite up Daisha Miller, who will be preaching for us this morning. Daisha is former children's minister here at WCF and still beloved family. She is a licensed counselor, a licensed minister. She is a woman of so many talents, gifts, and passions. And it is a blessing for us to receive from her this morning. So, Daisha, if you want to come up, let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you so much for Daisha. Spirit, we ask that you would fill her with your presence, with your peace, with your words, and would you prepare our hearts to receive from you through her this morning. May the words of her heart and the words that she speaks be a blessing and a challenge and a gift to all of us. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Good morning, family. I hope you all are doing well. It's so good to be in this place this morning. I have a confession. So usually I like to run through my message at least one time and time it, make sure, you know, I don't go past 20 minutes. And I did not do that this time. I don't foresee that I will, but I might need some help. So any of you guys were raised Baptist? Any of y'all went, okay, praise the Lord. So, all right. So now, I was raised Baptist, but I was raised in the Black Baptist Church, so it might be a little different, but so my father, he was a pastor, and he is a pastor, and sometimes he would go a little lengthy, and we had what we called the mother of the church. I don't know if y'all have the mother of the church in the Baptist church, and when he would go a little long, she'd, you know, hit that little note, and then he know, we'd all know it was time to wrap it up. And so, so if I hit 20 and it doesn't sound like I'm wrapping it up, if somebody could just, and if you're not comfortable with that, just, I'll still understand, all right? Are we on the same page? This is a relationship. We working together, right? Okay, I appreciate you. Thank you. So faithfulness, what is it? I thought that before we dive into talking about faithfulness, we should define it, right? And so when I looked it up, and I want to be clear, I'm going to use the terms faith and faithfulness interchangeably throughout the message. And so some of the words, some of the definitions, terms that came up when I looked up faith and faithfulness were truth, reliable, steady, trustworthy, dependable, loyalty, complete trust in God, and firm adherence. There were two other definitions that I thought were important to note: those who practice faith and to take firm action. And so my, if I could summarize it, if I could just put it in one sentence, faith is not just what's in our heads or our hearts, but it's what we do with our life and our actions. All right. So I'm going to go to, actually, before I go to the key scripture, I can't talk about faithfulness without talking about God's faithfulness. It's one of my favorite attributes of him. When I was given the opportunity to speak, I was like, oh, well, love's a good one. And I was like, patience, ooh, I'm not good at that one, so we're not going to talk about that one. Still working on me. But I thought faithfulness, that's the one that resonates the most, that I thank God for the most often, for his faithfulness. And so I looked up scriptures that talk about God's faithfulness, and the list is endless. And so I promise you, I'm not going over 20 minutes, so I'm not going through all the scriptures. But there were some key ones that I just wanted to pull out for you guys that speaks to God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, "Faithful God who keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging." Lamentations 3:22 and 23, "His mercies that he gives us, they're new every morning." And that's an act of his faithfulness. Psalms 36:5, "Thy faithfulness reaches into the clouds." It's limitless. Hosea 2:20, "I will betroth you unto me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." And if we had time today, which we don't, if I talked about Hosea, for those that know that story, it's such a beautiful story. But what God is saying is that even in your unfaithfulness, I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to bring you into me, and you're going to know me for my faithfulness. Psalm 119:90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides, it endures." And so, the verses go on and on and on, but some of the key points that I saw consistently throughout as I was reading them: love and faithfulness, it goes hand in hand. Faithfulness is lasting, enduring, limitless. It goes to all generations. And I forgot one, Proverbs 16:16, to affirm what I was talking about, love and faithfulness going hand in hand. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. And again, the list goes on and on. But I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, since that's a key scripture. But you know, I like to give you a lot of the word. So here we go. So Hebrews 11:1, it says that, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and by it the elders obtained a good report." And so in this passage, in Hebrews 11, it's a very familiar passage, it goes through a list of the elders who obtained a good report by their faith. And it speaks to Abel and his sacrifice to God. It talks about Enoch and how he was translated because he pleased God, which leads us to verse 6, where it says, "You must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him." And when it says you must believe that he is, it's saying that you must believe in the character of God, that not only he is, but he is who he says he is, right? And then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that God will do what he says he will do. And there's this relationship component, right? We diligently seek, he rewards. And then we keep going, and it talks about Abraham. And it says, "Abraham was called to go out into a place, and he obeyed, not knowing where he was going. And Sarah was considered an elder as well, who obtained a good report," because she's mentioned here. And this is actually one of my favorite verses, and not just because she's a woman, but she not only believed, but she conceived. Her faith went to another level, and she received strength to bear a child, and because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I promise you, I promise. I'm not going to, I know last time I went through a few chapters. I'm not going to do this time. But I do have to talk about, I want to stay with Abraham and Sarah, and I want to talk about their journey of faith. And their story is recorded in Genesis chapter 12 through 25. And we are not going to go through all the chapters, but I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of the different things that took place in this story. And so after Abraham's father took the family, and they were headed to Canaan, and they ended up settling in a city, a country called Haran, and his father died there. And then once his father died there, God called Abraham and made him a promise. He said, hey, go to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you, you know, those who bless you, they'll be blessed. Those who curse you, they'll be cursed. And so they obeyed. They didn't know where they were going, but he went. They go. A few other things that happen is that they go through Egypt, and they had a little incident. Abraham was trying to protect, you know, he was trying to protect himself, and he had a beautiful wife, Sarah, and they told the Pharaoh there that that was his sister, which wasn't a complete lie, but it wasn't the truth, right? And so they were cursed. The people of Egypt were cursed until he told the truth that it was actually his wife. And then after that, Lot and Abram, that's what it was called at the time, they separated. Sarah eventually at some point gives Hagar, her maid, to Abraham, and she gives birth to Ishmael. Another thing that happened is God eventually changed Abram and Sarai's name to Abraham and Sarah. God again, and he throughout this whole time, God repeatedly repeats his promise to them. At one point, Sarah overheard God sharing with Abraham what was going to happen. Sarah laughed at God's promise, and then she lied about it. Abraham, he prays for Sodom and Gomorrah, who he prays to God to have mercy because Lot is living there, his nephew, and God rescues Lot. And then another thing that happens, Abraham does the same old trick, you know, where in Egypt where he said Sarah was his sister, he goes to the king in another country and says the same thing, that this is my sister. And at this point now, they've heard the promise of God multiple times. They believe in, they've headed to Canaan, and he's still doing the same thing. And they eventually do have Isaac. The appointed time came. God came and did what he said he would do. Sarah birthed Isaac. They send Ishmael and Hagar away. God tells Abram to sacrifice him. And Abraham, he is willing. He trusts God. God brings a ram and a fish. Sarah eventually dies. Abraham remarries and has six more children. So that's Genesis 12 through 25. That wasn't too long. That wasn't too bad, right? There you go. So, and there's so many takeaways from that story. And I felt like it was important to know, you know, we talk about Abraham as the father of faith, and he is, and we talk about the sacrifice that he made or that he was willing to make. That he was willing to go to a place that he hadn't been to, and he also made mistakes. There was mistakes made. There was sin. You know, we call it what it is, right? He lied. Like the sin took place, and God still said that they were elders who obtained a good report because of their faith. And I think that it's important to note that their faithfulness wasn't derived in perfection or always getting it right. They were living out their faith, though. They were even they believed God when he said, go to a place that I'm going to show you. Go, you're going to be the father of many nations. They may not have known how it was going to happen, which is, you know, how we ended up in different situations, but they acted, they moved in faith. And so I want to talk about how we can live out our faithfulness. And Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, it says, be merciful and truthful. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge God and let him guide you. There is in Luke 16, 10 through 18, and I'm not 10 through 13, excuse me, and I'm not going to read all the verses, but essentially it says that if you're not faithful in the small things, how can you be faithful in the big things? If I can't trust you with someone else's property, why would I give you your own? And essentially, you can't serve two masters. You'll either love one or hate the other. You can't serve both God and money. And essentially, the takeaway is be dependable in the small things so you can be considered trustworthy or faithful in the bigger things. And I wanted to share a personal story with you guys, if it's okay. I wanted to share the story of how I stood in faithfulness to you know, and I was unmoved and unchanging. And God was like, no, don't tell them that one. tell them how you acted on Halloween. And so so I have a confession. So for the parents in the room, you guys know Halloween is a busy time, and it's a hectic time. It can be fun, but it was a lot going on. So so that morning, the day started off good. The kids had their costumes. Nolan, he goes to one school. He got on the bus successfully. The girls, they go to their school, and then Nevi has a daycare. Nevi, in his little preschool program, they were having a Halloween parade, and they wanted us to bring snacks. And so I signed up for the cupcakes. And so I had my cupcakes. I was proud of myself. I had gotten the day before, and we were getting in the car, and the packaging of the cupcakes, half of it fell out. Yes. I was shook. And so my mood was a little like, oh, Lord. And mind you, for those that really know me, you know, I live life on the edge. And so not only did I have to get these cupcakes and get my kids dropped off, the girls' school, it opens up at 9:10. I had a dentist appointment at 9:40, and I had a client at 11. So my day, right. Why do I do this to myself? I don't know. But so I'm like, okay, I dropped Nevi off with half the cupcakes, and I tell him, okay, I dropped them. I'm going to come back. And I'm taking the girls to school, and I'm figuring out, okay, I'll have just enough time to go pick up these, another thing of cupcakes. And meanwhile, I'm configuring my oldest daughter, bless her little heart, she is literally, has not had any sugar or cupcake, jumping over the seats in the car. And I was just, girl, what is you doing? And so we get to the, and she didn't like that, by the way. I was like, I need you to stop. And so we get to drop them off, and she's in a mood now because I told her to stop. And so this is my confession. So I yelled at her. I was like, girl, get out the car. Like, I love you, and I need you to stop. I need you to listen. And so I drive away, and I'm like, okay, do I get these cupcakes first, or do I go to the dentist appointment? And my heart, I couldn't. I was driving away, and I was like, did I ruin her day? And so I was like, Lord, I may have to reschedule this dentist appointment, or I'm gonna have to, you know, push this client back, but I can't do this. So I turn around, I go back to the school, I go to the office, I have them call her out of class, and I give her a hug, and I said, I'm sorry for yelling at you. That wasn't right, you know. And I didn't try to make excuses for why I did it. I was wrong, I'm sorry. And so She ended up, by the way, she had a good day, so, you know, please judge me a little less. And so she had a good day. But by the time I got done, I was late to my dentist appointment. So I was like, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And when I got there, I got to the dentist, I got a call from the school, from Nebby's preschool, and they were like, you mentioned that you were gonna go get some more cupcakes, but I counted them. You have enough. You don't need to bring any more. And all I could say was, great is your faithfulness. Like, he is so faithful. And I know to some it may seem like, girl, it's just cupcakes. But to me, I'm like, every time, even in my unfaithfulness, even in my having a bad moment or sin or whatever the case, he is still faithful. He shows up. He's dependable. He's reliable. He comes through. I was just like, well, you know, the client, they just gonna have to be late. You know, like, I gotta get my kid the cupcakes, right? But in that, God was faithful. And I don't know if that would have been the case if I had went back or not. But I do know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is gonna show up. He's just, because that's who he is. And so my charge to you all is that We're not perfect, right? Like, great is his faithfulness. He is amazing. His mercies are new every morning, and that is the blueprint, right? But I'm more like Abraham and Sarah, and I keep messing up. and I imagine I'm not the only one. You ain't got to raise your hand. You know, I stand by myself. Bless you. Thank you. I appreciate you. Y'all be looking out. Thank you. But even in that I'm still striving to get it right. I still trust him. And even in my mistakes, even in my errors, even when I try to control the situation or try to figure out how I'm gonna do it, he's already got the plan. And what I want to conclude with is this, is that God has made a promise to us, right? Yeah. That he's coming again, that this is not the end for us, right? And so my encouragement to you all is for us to live that out. Like, even if we don't get to see it, right? Because at the end of that Hebrews chapter 11, I know y'all like, she just barely touched that chapter. But in conclusion, they were saying that by faith, all these elders obtained a good report, and they didn't see the promise. They were looking for a country that they didn't get a chance to live in. And that may be our case, where we may not get to see, you know, hear the trumpet sound and, you know, see whatever it looks like when that time comes. You know, we may not get to see it in this lifetime, but we should live our lives striving, knowing that he is coming back, because he is a faithful God. All right. That's all I got. Bless you.